This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. In less than 2 weeks, the first music from the Artisphere Orchestra will begin to be heard as part of the Artisphere Festival that is sponsored by the Walton Arts Center. Last week, Jason Smith with Walton Arts Center came in. We were discussing classical music. Jason, I've invited you back. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Last week, you were talking about perhaps people who think they aren't classical music fans explore.
Yes.
You know, find out, because you probably are. We probably all are to some degree. And you mentioned that some Aaron Copland music was used, you know, for the Beef Council.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing. Aaron Copland didn't write that so someday it would encourage you to eat beef.
Of course not.
And I think one of the great things about music that we're talking about is so much of it is formed by what's happening in that composer's life, and it's not written as a jingle.
Not at all. In fact, that piece was written as a dance suite,
right,
for Martha Graham. And, you know, you in that piece, if you listen to it in its entirety, the piece that you hear in the commercial is the very last movement. And probably it is the most recognizable movement, but it all ties in to this dance that's celebrating the American West and the new frontier. And within that piece itself, you know, Aaron Copland was more concerned with imitating the canter of a horse than he was with selling the idea of beef.
Right.
You know?
And because he did it so well, it's probably one reason the Beef Council eventually adopted that.
Of course.
Because it did invoke the West, which made you think of steer or whatever.
Exactly. And the cowboy, the cowpoke. And,
right.
You know, I mean, and there, it's amazing what he has written into his score that has become iconic for Western culture and the American West and that Oklahoma-Texas frontier land, which really was what they were looking for when they were developing the dance.
So much of the music that falls under the umbrella of classical music was inspired by something. It might be war. It might be the threat of war. It might be the end of war.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that some of Beethoven's pieces, well, at least one of them, was written to honor Napoleon. You know, I mean, arguably one of the more violent dictators in European history. Of course, it's a war that's different from war that we have in our modern sensibility. But, when wars were heroic and everybody wore red and blue. But he wrote a symphony that was going to be dedicated to the memory of Napoleon. And then, you know, of course, he famously struck out Napoleon's name on it.
Does it help to know the stories? You don't have to, but if you know, I'm fortunate because I get to talk to composers or conductors.
Right.
Several times throughout the year. And mm-hmm. when it's discussing a particular program that's going to be – and they can tell a backstory.
Right.
And say, well, if you listen here, this is when this Russian composer was really – you can hear his hope here or his dismay in what might be happening to his country. You don't have to know, but doesn't it help?
I think the more information you have and the more informed you make yourself on in any level, I think the more helpful it is. I don't think it's – necessary, but I think it certainly will open your eyes to see it as the composer intended. Having worked with several wonderful conductors, several of them have said, you know, the intent and the reason why we study the score is to learn what the conductor wanted. And part of the process of learning the music is to know where it was composed, what they were doing at that time, things that led up to that, whether it is cultural like a war, or whether it's they were living in a time of, you know, of the divine right kings, you know, kings and queens and monarchs of Europe, which informs how classical music is looked at. You know, I mean, they did they I like to always talk to kids and go, well, you know, did when this was piece was written, let's think about how people just in their daily lives lived. Did they have TVs?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have did they have record players?
Right.
You know, did this composer, what did he do? Did he have a kitchen? You know, did he have, could he cook in his house? You know, or did he live out in the country? Learning how to ask those questions and then seeking out those answers is really helpful to understanding maybe why a composer chooses a subject matter. Strauss wrote this piece called The Alpine Symphony, mm-hmm. and it requires an enormous orchestra. It's one of the it's so enormous that it's rarely performed or as compared to other pieces. And it literally details the day of the sun rising over the Alps. And then setting, you know, and follows what a day in the Alps would be like musically.
Right.
You know, and why did he choose that? Why was it important for him to create a whole symphony based on that? That's the question. It can open up conversations with yourself and with others that can be just thrilling experiences in your daily lives.
I may be painting with a broad brush here. I'm going to take some big terms. But is that one way that classical music might have a connection to popular music? If you think of Bob Dylan and Blowin' in the Wind, which was written thinking about Vietnam and civil unrest, or Sam Cooke and A Change is Going to Come About Civil Rights. I mean, these are songs inspired by things. Now, they're songs. They're not symphonies.
Right.
But is that one way we can kind of make a connection between?
Well, I think that's a very valid connection. I think I think the difference – I think the only difference might be that in classical music, you can't pick it up in 2 minutes.
Right, right.
The same message might be developed over 10 minutes.
A short story versus a novel.
I would say it's more like a paragraph versus.
Okay.
A paragraph, which is kind of a popular format, which is a mm-hmm. shorter format, to maybe 10 pages.
Gotcha.
You know, if the novel is an entire composer's work.
Most of what we've talked about so far is about hearing the music as it is recorded on a CD or something. But, of course, what the Artist Fair Orchestra is about is hearing it live. And there is a difference. We'll need to talk about that.
You bet.
Can we do that next week?
You bet.
Okay. Thank you, Jason.
You got it.
Oh, if people want to know more about the Artisphere Orchestra and the performances?
Go to artisphere festival.org. Under featured projects, you can see the orchestra and the chamber music series, and it will give you all the times and dates, and I encourage you to come out.
Thank you.